Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. And Chris, you and I have been chatting off mic, just discussing the markets, discussing even what we're doing this weekend. And I admitted to you, I was like, Chris, what can we even talk about today? Honestly, I'm kind of burnt out topic-wise because of the fact that it doesn't seem like anything is progressing in any sustainable direction other than the fact that markets are remaining choppy and everyone is more or less waiting for the election to finally be over. And even then, everybody has questions in their mind about if the actual election date will be the date that we can finally say, okay, now we know who's the next president, and now we can start moving forward. There just seems to be, again, so many question marks. Chris, please share with us, what is on your mind? What is there to talk about when it comes to markets in a timely fashion?
Well, Corey, there's a lot we can speculate about and say, what if this, what if that? But by and large, and you and I alluded to this the last time we spoke as well, a lot of people are in somewhat of a holding pattern right now. You still have a bit of an upward bias because of all the liquidity in the stock market. Also because in the recent past, the market has warmed up, such as it is, to the idea that there will be a clear enough Biden victory over President Trump to, at least where the presidential race is concerned, not require days or weeks of counting and recounting and court cases and whatnot, like we had here back in the Bush versus Gore race in 2000. You know, that remains to be seen. As always, you can pretty much take it to the bank that President Trump's poll numbers are understated, but it's a much more significant gap today than it was when he ran against the Hildebeest back in 2016. So back then I believed that Trump would win. This time around, I would be rather surprised if Trump pulled this out, because even compared to 2016, there's a full court press arrayed against him by the establishment, by the media, by everybody. And unfortunately, enough people will buy that that he's probably going to lose. But we'll see. I think a lot of people haven't clearly thought through the implications for the economy and the stock market both. If we have not only a Biden victory, but a Democrat sweep, that would probably bring in at least some near-term volatility much greater than what we've seen up to this point. You'd have people that are scrambling to sell stocks in 2020. Looking ahead to the likelihood of higher capital gains rates next year. So we don't know. Right now, people, I think, are just kind of indecisive, maybe a little bit half frozen. They know that they've got to stay fully invested because that's what everybody else is doing right now. But we'll see how much that changes in 2.5 weeks.
Chris, do you think that if Trump does actually lose, that it will be dragged out like he is promising, unfortunately, that it could go on for weeks, maybe months?
We don't know. I mean, look, there's already been evidence provided of dirty tricks with some of these absentee ballots, with the way some of the mail-in ballots have been handled and so forth. You had the other day a member of the state Democrat Party committee in Colorado on tape saying that whether he has to lie, cheat, steal, or whatever, he's going to make sure that Biden wins in Colorado. Others, I'm sure, have got that same attitude, though they weren't stupid enough or smug enough to be caught on tape saying it. So we don't know. I mean, President Trump has already laid out a case that he may or may not make, that if it's a close election or tilted just slightly against him, he could try and say, look, I'm not going to accept that because we're going to investigate this and this and this and this. He may be right if that point and those circumstances come, but I think that everybody would be universally against him. You know, in the end, 20 years later, there are people that believe, and I'm not saying I do, but I'm just saying this for sake of discussion, there are people who to this day say that Al Gore should never have surrendered the way he did. And then in the end, of course, the Supreme Court decided it. And that's even debatable whether they have that authority to do so constitutionally. So, you know, I think in the end, there's a potential that this is muddy. And to the extent that the market has held up remarkably well of late, despite the fact that there's no stimulus deal, despite the fact that Europe is almost across the board is starting to shut down now, and what implications that may or may not have for us here down the road. People, I think, are accepting enough of the recent polls that it's not going to be close enough for that kind of thing to happen, that that's almost their preferred outcome, even if it means that Biden wins.
Yeah. Oh, man, it could be ugly for a while, right? But I cannot wait until we get this election past us. But again, yeah, we don't know when the election will finally be behind us. Chris, yeah,
I wish my crystal ball and Ouija board and Goat End Trails told me something about that. They don't.
Nope, neither do mine. Let's talk about COVID, too, because that is a whole other question mark, and that is in itself a whole other potential driver of markets. Look, it seems like we are just at the beginning of the second wave in the Northern Hemisphere, but as you said, we're already seeing shutdowns in Europe. We have, well, even in Ontario went into more of a shutdown stage in a couple of their areas, Toronto, the Peel District, even in Ottawa, I believe, where they're back to, I think it's phase two. So we are actually kind of getting this rolling trend towards more shutdowns. The markets don't seem to care about it, but how important is this to watch?
Well, it's very important to watch. I mean, yeah, the markets don't care right now. I don't understand why. I don't understand why the markets don't care about a lot of things, but that's nothing new for me. Look, there are a lot of things that have happened with this whole pandemic that are just don't pass the smell test, Corey. I said way back early on when this all started in this country early this year that there was an agenda behind this. Without getting into whether or not, you know, China actually deliberately released this virus, whether they did so with an assist from Dr. Fauci or Dr. whoever, that was kind of secondary. The fact is that we know back then, and I wrote about this extensively, some of this is still on my website, that the whole skyscraper of cards of our financial system and fractional reserve system were having a lot of cracks open up going all the way back to over a year ago now, when I think it was last September, all out of nowhere, Fed Chairman Powell decided he just discovered a plumbing problem in the repo market, as he called it. And he had to start shoveling hundreds of billions of dollars in the repo market. Wasn't necessarily helping a whole lot. Meanwhile, over in China, things were even worse. And a lot of people, myself included, wondering aloud whether we were going to see China finally implode because in relative terms, they've got the most leveraged mess on the face of the planet. More than Europe, more than the U.S., more than Japan, more than anybody. But then, presto, we have this pandemic, and it served as the excuse for the Fed and all these other central banks to pull out all different kinds of newfangled tricks and do stuff that they in a million years would never have had the public and political and market support to do were it not for this. And the fact, to me, that you're seeing, even after the World Health Organization itself, which, I mean, I don't know why anybody takes a single word they say as meaning much, because they change their mind more than the average politician. But when they have even come out and said that all of these lockdowns have done more harm than good, you've had business failures, you've had families lose lifetime work, you've had suicide, you've had all different kinds of things. On top of that, you just had the President of the United States contract this thing and not respond to it any worse than anybody would with the average flu, which has driven the establishment even more nuts with their Trump derangement syndrome. So if we're going to be going in this lockdown direction again, okay, what else is next? What aren't they telling us, all of these different governments, that is wrong, that doesn't have anything to do with this virus, that they've got to play the virus thing up again to have the excuse to come in with more help, more control, more financial bailouts, more whatever? So you know, I don't live in those other countries where these cases are coming back, but I'll tell you what, I do live in Florida, and I do remember early this summer here when we had another big spike higher, a second one in Florida, and the national media made it look like every one of us in the states are walking Typhoid Mary, and 98% of the coverage was an absolute outright lie of what was going on down here. Yeah, you had a big spike in cases because you had people going out getting tested umpteen times to go back to work or because they watched the viewers CNN too much. So you had numbers go way up, but guess what? Hospitalizations and deaths both went down, and they've continued to. So is this particular strain of the flu intractable? Yes. Is this particular strain of virus more deadly maybe than the average one to people that already have certain pre-existing conditions? Yes. Guess what? That's what it was designed to be. Okay? And the fact that we're still all being led astray by this, and you know me, Corey, pardon my rambling, you know me, I'm not Donald Trump's biggest fan. But when he came out and said, you know, hey, I got over this, no big deal, you don't let it control your life, that further, I don't know how the establishment could be further enraged than they are, but that did enrage him further because he said was exactly what he should have said months ago before he got sucked into all of this nonsense that now we're all paying for.
Unfortunately, Chris, but I
don't
know.
There's my sermon for the day.
I appreciate that rant. I don't really know what to say on the other end of it. Look, like, the media's made it out to be a lot. A lot of people have lost their lives. It's been a very sad thing to have around, and unfortunately, it's still around. And the way I'm looking at it is that we might need to live with this forever. This might be a new cold, a new flu that goes around and makes its way. So we might need to figure out how to deal with it. But does that mean that the markets are also taking kind of an outlook that I have that, okay, maybe this is going to be around for a while, maybe as long as we don't get huge overwhelming attendance at health care places or hospitals, then you know what? Maybe the markets are looking by it saying we need to, in a way, put this behind us?
Well, look, I think the markets can look by it somewhat, and they clearly are, Corey, to the extent of what you're kind of suggesting right now. That you know, every year we have a flu, some flu season. Some are worse than others. People lose their lives during the regular flu season. This is no different than that. Again, there are characteristics of this particular virus that are worse and quirkier, to use maybe not the best word, because again, it's my opinion that that's what it was designed to do, to thin out the old and the weak. There's your conspiracy theory for the day. But where I have a problem with the markets, you know, Alfred E. Newman, what me worry kind of attitude, Corey, is where, okay, fine, we can realize that we need to bob and weave and change a lot of our habits and how we do things, which we're already doing, to deal with this. But does that justify the level of stock prices, evaluations of certain industries? You know, we've seen some really silly stuff happen this year with all the liquidity that's out there. And with people with more money than brains, they zig and they zag, and they've got algorithms set up that literally will dissect headlines. And depending on how and where and how many times they see the word stimulus, deal, no deal, lockdown, all these different words, people are trading stocks and options and stuff based on this with utterly no regard for what the real world economy is. Because in a lot of cases, you've got you've got people who, you know, that's all they know how to do. I'll give you a quick example. This, you know, go back, folks, if you haven't been paying attention to this. Look at a chart of natural gas in recent weeks. It's up 5% today, down 8% tomorrow, up 6% the next day. You know, this is silliness. So you've got a lot of liquidity that's out there. It's chased stuff all over creation, up and down, sometimes in the same day. And I think it's really giving people a false sense of security as to what exactly is going on with the real world economy. And I don't know how many more times people need to hear that cruise line openings are getting pushed back again, airlines are selling planes or laying off workers. Some of them may have to consolidate. I mean, there are a lot of these things that aren't going away. And sure, because of all of these new changes in our lives and things that we live with, there are some sectors and some companies that will benefit from it, no question. But you get the impression from the stock market generally that it's everybody, and it's not. And I think people, particularly after the election, when whatever the outcome is, and the dust settles and people start figuring out, okay, what's the world? Now we get back to work. The silliness is over. Now what's ahead of us? It might be pretty sobering.
It might be, but I don't know, Chris. This has been kind of a historic year in many ways, and in many ways in a bad way. But markets have recovered. Markets are telling a bit of a different story, a big different story compared to what the news outlets are telling us. But I don't know. I can't wait to get the election behind us, get this year behind us. I'd like to get COVID behind us, but also maybe a different mentality towards COVID, to maybe one of more having to deal with it for a prolonged period of time. But I don't know. Either way, it's been an interesting year, and thankfully we're closing in on the end of 2020 here in the next couple months. Chris, good chatting with you. Thanks for wrapping up this week. Who knows? Next week, maybe there will be more to talk about. Maybe it'll just be more of the same, though. Chris, have a great weekend, buddy.